movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle, the lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad, and the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
Welcome to the Watchmen for Jesus program. This afternoon, it's a Bible study, and welcome back. Boy, what a day this has been, I tell you. What a day. Interesting day all day today. You know, I tell you, God will test you. He'll allow temptation, and then he'll reward you if you stay strong. He'll do that for you. He'll do that for you. He's real. The supernatural is real, man. It's real. It's not just something to placate the population. They use it for that, but it's going to come back on those globalists, as we call them. And my regular listeners, you know who I'm talking about. The globalists. Tonight, I'll talk about those tomorrow. Actually, tomorrow is part two of Martin Luther King. The first hour today in the Martin Luther King program that I did, you know, I have a tendency sometimes, it's not a good one actually, sometimes it works, sometimes it don't, but I have a tendency to go down rabbit holes, but they're all connected. And what I try to do is tie up loose ends to show you how this thing is really connected, just absolutely mind-boggling. But I try to simplify it. I understand it, but then I'm also taught new stuff every day. It's something new. It's just amazing how just things just keep popping out. You think, I got this figured out. No, you don't. Boom, there's another little bit of information you learn. Like, where'd that come from? The bottom line is, whether you study the Illuminati or not or whatever, is just taking Jesus Christ as your Savior and rest in that. And then when that happens, then he'll more on you, but a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more. He doesn't just throw everything at you at once. It's just, he'll teach you, train you, test you. Allow temptations to come, but he always provides you a way out. Always. He don't back you up into a corner. But he gives you a way out. He gives you a way that you cannot go through the temptation, or that you'll find a way to pass the test. But it's on you. And then if you pass it and you stay loyal, he'll say, okay. He already knows what you're going to do, but he gives you the opportunity. So he knows. It's kind of a pseudo, is this the right word? It may be a gamblism. Pseudo predestination in a way. But he gives everybody the opportunity to pass or fail. You know, you can say, well, I just don't like it. Well, you can if you want to, but this is where you are. When you were born, you couldn't hold on to your mother's esophagus and say, I don't want to go, I want to stay here. It don't work that way. When that water breaks, man, you're coming out. And let me tell you, when you land, when you're born, you come out crying, you're hungry. You've landed in what we call in the Marine Corps a hot LZ. The only friendly you have is your mama for like 4 years. That's it. And your memory really doesn't start till you're 5 years old, four or something like that. 4 or 5, you're out of your mother's matrix. You might be out of the womb, but you're still in your mother's matrix. That's why it's important for the first 3, 4 years to be with who that mama is, be with real mama. It's natural. It has to happen. And your background, your personality, character, all that's starting to shape at that time period. So can you imagine if you're born in... shaking conditions, how that can lead to your future, how you look at things, what you might be missing. Muhammad the prophet was just out of his mother's matrix at 5 years old. She died when he was 6 years old. She died all of a sudden. And then the Catholic Church, through Arab Catholics, raised Muhammad the prophet. After all, 200 or 300 years before they created Islam. Roman Catholics did, yeah, that's true. So that meant that Muhammad, the prophet, at 6, mother died, he was tore him up. What does that mean? It means he needed a mother's complex. It means a mother's care all his life. Well, they knew that. They arranged a marriage with Muhammad, the prophet, with Qajina. They called her, who was 40 years old. He was 20 when he had the arranged marriage. Mm-hmm. See how they do it? Family, this whole world is controlled. Right now, Satan is God of this world. But he's not king. Much of the churches, political offices, entertainment, everything is controlled through him. Some people don't even know it. But God is there when you call upon him. There's the catch. Satan, this is what's going on today. And everything else is to distract you. I was talking, and I'm going to dedicate the broadcast a minute, but I remember the other night I was talking when I went out to one of my favorite coffee drinking places. And a couple sat beside me, an elderly couple. Of course, I'm no young whippersnapper myself, but an elderly couple sat beside me, and they're all jovial and all this and all that. They were passing through, going to somewhere up north, I don't know what. And I just... sitting there doing my writing in my journal and drinking my coffee or whatever. And some game of some sort was, there's four TVs in front of me. You know, if you look up, you're going to see nothing but TV. Look to your left, TV. Right, TV. So you can't see nothing but TV. And some kind of, one of the games or something, Super Bowl playoff or something, whatever it is. I don't really care, but Anyway, they're all into it, man. They're into it. Oh, from New England. Ah, that's right, New England. They were from New England. So the woman leans over and says, ah, so which team are you really for? I said, pardon? I said, ma'am, I don't even watch it. Just, you know, I don't care. I played football, but it don't make any difference who wins. Don't do anything for me at all. Oh. Okay. Conversation dropped flat. That's it. If you're not into sports, don't talk to me. So when the football season's over, whenever this thing called Super Bowl is over, people go into fantasy football. And then they can't wait for Super Bowl next year. We'll get them next year. They always, next year, man, you got the year away from now. You're already planning to watch the Super Bowl a year from now. Family, all this is designed to keep you busy. It's called blood sports. I'm sorry, I played football virtually 12, 15 years of my life, and I'm Marine Corps and all that. But I now see it for everything for what it is. You can't go back. You can't unlearn what you've learned. Everything is designed to keep your eyes off the ball. What's the ball? Jesus Christ is. He's on the ball, and we're off the ball. He's the only way to salvation, and it's coming round. It's not just I don't have a spiritual program. I don't have a religious program. It's based on reality. Your sports stars are Freemasons. The ones that they use on commercials, that they come up, they have signed their name in blood to Lucifer. The others just play ball. Ventura, one of the worst that there is. Absolutely the worst. And there's several others. They've signed their name to Lucifer, from the professional wrestling to governor to that stupid program. What was it? Conspiracy something, another, whatever. I didn't watch it, junk. It's all scripted out. It's no use watching it because it's scripted. It's not real. Conspiracy one, conspiracy something, whatever. I just didn't watch it because it was a bogus. All bogus. That's what they're for. To keep us tied up, distracted, redirected, misdirected. Man, all the way up to Palin, all the way up to Pelosi, to Obama, Bush, every single one of them. Right down to Podunk, some little Podunk town in Maine, some council meeting. You're going to have a Freemason keep an eye on you. This is how it works, family, in reality. But they all lose if they don't accept Jesus as Savior. It is impossible for this Luciferian agenda to come to fruition on the long term. It's going to be severely short term. Severely. When? I don't know. That's God's timing. Way over my pay grade. So I'm going to dedicate the broadcast. And I'm going to get started tonight on the wheat and the tares. Moving into chapter 13 of Revelation. And then tomorrow, I want to cover or finish up Matthew 24 and 25. I don't want to cover 25 tonight. I'm not ready. I want to summarize it to where I can get through it. And bring out the main points of 24 and 25 that I talked about on Friday. So tonight will be the wheat and the tares. See how far we get heading toward Revelation 13. Because wheat and tares are very important. Lord, thank you tonight for Bible study. Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have with this network. Father, we thank you for your Lord, for your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins. Lord, we thank you for our families that we have. Lord, help us, help me, Father, to be more patient, because, Lord, it's a task. Lord, we call upon you, your Holy Spirit, to give us that wisdom, discernment, patience that we need. And Lord, to guide us, convict us inside when we fall away. Father, forgive us of our thoughts if we think outside what we should. And Father, we know you know our thoughts, but Lord, I call upon you to give us that direction, a conviction to show us which path to take and the strength to turn away from the evil. Give us the courage to take on those those temptations that you give us, Father, and the strength to turn away from them. Father, we know you give us a way out. Father, sometimes it's not easy. Lord, we thank you for the opportunities, though, you do give us, and the infirmities that keep us humble. And Lord, that your wisdom guides us in the right strength, right path and the knowledge that we're to gain. Father, give us the opportunities to witness to others. And Father, for sharing of each other the knowledge we gained. Father, we pray upon you, Lord, that the Holy Spirit, we pray to you that the Holy Spirit will soften the hearts of those family members to give them wisdom, strength, and courage to seek your face. Father, to wake up these churches. Father, to get them away from these heretical Bibles that they got today and to have the courage to use the correct Bible, the King James Bible. Father, we pray for the secret society members that are that the Holy Spirit will touch their hearts to renounce those blood oaths. Father, protect the veterans as they come back. Father, being attacked. And Father, to render null and void the effects of these psychotropic drugs and the technology that's being used directed at them. Father, to bring an awakening to this world, to the United States, Lord, that this country we live in now, that you will bring a group out of each across the United States to start witnessing the truth. And Father, for those in the other countries to wake them up too, that we know, Father, they're heading out there, and Father, in some places it's not even safe for them to come out. But Father, we know it's going to be that way worldwide in this due time. So Father, today we know it's practice to guide us in our practice and rehearsal for the big events that's ready to get started. But Father, show us the wisdom, discernment to pick out those true signs of the end times that comes from the scriptures. These things we pray. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. And thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Well, the wheat and the tares may come up with all kinds of descriptions of the wheat and tares. That the wheat are the humans and the tares are those that have the reptilian DNA. Oh, they come up with all kinds of mess. Bottom line of the wheat and tares is the ones that accept Jesus and ones that don't. Now that's an easy answer. That's the easy answer. But you find the parable, the wheat and tares, Matthew 13, 24 to 30. And then it moves right on into, it lead into the explanation of the parable of the tares in 13, Matthew 13, 36 to 40. It tells you. See, the Bible don't mess around. The Bible has secret knowledge, the Torah code, the Bible. No, it don't. No, it don't. The Bible code is nonsense. The Torah code is double nonsense. I'm not going to cover that. That in itself is the Gnostics and so forth. Bible code, Torah code, Gospel of Thomas, and Gospel of Mary. And they got like a whole three, four inch volume of parables. Gnostic books. Which Enoch is one of them. The parable of the wheat and tares, chapter 13, for example, It's in Matthew. Verse 24. It says that Verse 24 to 30. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that soweth good seed in the field. While men slept, the enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said to him, sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? Whence then hath it hares? Tares. Hares are rabbits, aren't they? Tares. He said unto them, enemy hast done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. In the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. But another parable he put forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, when a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it grows, when it is grown, it is the greatest among the herbs, and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in the measures of meal until the whole was leavened. All these things spoke Jesus to the multitude in parables, and without a parable spoke he not to them. He used parables quite a bit. He goes on to talk about it. You know, the second parable, the wheat and the tares, or actually the first one, is a vivid illustration of the fact that the kingdom of heaven includes those who give only lip service to the king as well as those who are his genuine disciples. And the first three soils talk about the kingdom of its widest circle, the outward profession. Now, it goes back into sowing the seeds, the seed, parable of the seed, or the sower. Now, I didn't cover that one. So, we move into the wheat and tares. So, the second parable, the wheat and the tares, is the kingdom in these two aspects. That the wheat depicts true believers. And the tares are a mirror of those who profess to know Jesus. To know God. So Jesus compares the kingdom to a man who sowed good seed in the field. But while the men slept, the enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat. So a theologian named Unger, U-N-G-E-R, said that the most common tare found in grain fields is the Holy Land is what's called a bearded darnel. It's kind of a poisonous grass. It's indistinguishable from wheat, pretty much. But the two are growing into a blade. When they come into ear, they can be separated without difficulty. When it comes time to take them up. But in 13:27 and 13:28, the servants saw that the tares mixed with the grain. So they asked the householder, how'd this happen? So, that's where he recognized it as the work of an enemy. So the servants were ready to pull the weeds out immediately. Just take them on up now. But the farmer, as you heard, he ordered them to wait until the harvest came. Then the reapers would separate the two, the angels, the reapers would separate the two. The grain would be gathered into the barn, and the darn would be burned. The darnel burned in the fire. So why did the farmer order the delay? Why not do it now? Well, in nature, the roots of the grain and darnel are intertwined together. So it's almost impossible to pull up one without the other coming with it. So, when you go in, and we will shortly go into Matthew 13:37-43, you'll read a little further. He goes into the mustard seed. And we'll talk a little bit about the mustard seed before I move on. You see, Jesus at this point, he likened the kingdom of a mustard seed, which he called the smallest of seeds, smallest in experience of listeners. When a man planted the seed, it grew into a tree. It's a growth that's quite amazing when you study it. That's the mustard seed, which grows to a tree. Another herb don't do that. And the formal, normal mustard seed plant is more like a bush than a tree. So the tree was large enough for birds to nest in its branches. So the seed represented the humble beginning of the kingdom. At first, the kingdom was kept relatively small and pure as a result of persecution. But then came the patronage and the protection of the state. It suffers abnormal growth. The birds came and roosted in it. The same word for birds is used here as in verse 4. Because Jesus explained the birds as meaning the evil one in 19. So the kingdom becomes a nesting place for Satan and his angels. Today, the umbrella of Christendom covers such Christ-denying systems as, what we got? Unitarianism, Christian Science, Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, Unification Church, all kinds of them, like actually about 40,000. Unification Churches, Moonies, cults. So here, Jesus is warning them, forewarning them to the disciples that during his absence, the kingdom would experience a phenomenal growth, which it did. Why do you think the Caesars had the killing process to go on? That's tied into it, something else I'm studying right now. That kind of ties into it. The growth caused them to have to come up with the gladiators. Huh. And should not be deceived and equate the growth with success. It would be unhealthy growth. Remember, the Roman Catholic Church was formed in the 4th century. Because the killing of the Jews was not working. They wanted to reduce that growth by killing them in horrendous ways so nobody else said, I don't want to be, I ain't going to be no Christian. You see, oh, that, you see that? Oh. But it worked opposite. Telemachus was a gladiator who fed the Christians to the lions. Saw their, all of them they fed through were always praising their God. He said, man, I don't know what they got, but whatever it is, I want it. He took off his armor and joined them, Telemachus. The people in the stands were converting. So by 313 A.D., this is too much. So he brings in Constantine. Constantine, for the Roman Catholic Church then, was the founder of, like, some of this pontifex, the first pope. He was pagan. Claimed to be Christian to bring the Christians in. Then here comes the Inquisition. Anyway, the tiny seed would become an abnormal tree, Christianity. The largest would become a dwelling place of demons. They foresaw that back then. Isn't that amazing? A prison for every soul, spirit, and a cage for every unclean-headed bird. Revelation 18, verse 2. The Bible is an amazing book. It's not a book of history. It's a book of prophecy that's not even happened yet. But we can see the beginnings of things now. Now, going to the parable of the tares. In Matthew 13:36, the Bible explains you. What it says, well, the Bible's got secretive. No, it don't. It tells you what it is. In Matthew 13:36, Jesus went to the multitude away, sent the multitude away, went to the house, and the disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. Well, there you go. 37, here we go. He answered and said to them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. Yeah, watch this. Krishnadenti and others say, well, oh, so the sons of Cain survived the flood. No, it didn't. Cain was the son of Satan and they survived the flood. No, that's where they get that from. When they say children of the wicked one, it means the children, the humans that are evil and disobedient to God. It doesn't mean DNA children, that they're actual children of Satan. That's what they use. The enemy that sowed them is the devil, the harvest at the end of the world. And the reapers are the angels. You can't get no clearer than that. The harvest is not before the tribulation, which is what some people trying to tell me today in my Facebook account, one of them, trying to say no. Some will say the good are going to be removed first. Others say the wicked will be removed first. That's where they're getting that from. But they're removed at the end of the tribulations. Man, these preachers, I tell you, and this is significant too, very significant. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. Therefore the tares were gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be the end of this world. Now how can you mistake that? Anyway, the Son of Man shall send forth his angels. They shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity. Now some people attribute that to the rapture. Others attribute to it to post-rapture. All he's telling us here, it's going to happen. But nowhere does it say when. That's the tricky part. And God's not going to either. Because Satan don't know. Man don't know. Only God knows. So nobody can prepare for anything on the exact day and time, what full moon is and what night, what year, what season. Can't do it. And God has inspired men to write, inspired the King James Bible to translate and transcribe in a way that you'll know when it happens. People can't debate the Bible. There's no theologian remotely intelligent enough with dimensional capacity to debate the Bible. It's impossible. Yet they do it anyway. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels. They shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity. Shall cast them in the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the son of the kingdom of the Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. They will try to tell you that the wicked is taken out. I was told this afternoon. First, I said, really? Then why is God having the seven trumpets? I mean, nothing's down here to judge. They're all taken out, right? No response. I didn't think so. So the wheat and the tares is pretty significant. And it's also just straight up. It's often misinterpreted, though. Many commentaries and sermons have attempted to use the story as an illustration of the condition of the church. And that is what I'm exactly being told this afternoon, right out of their picture book. They note that both are true believers. The wheat and false professors, the weeds in both the church at large and individual local churches. While it may be true, Jesus distinctly explains that the field is not the church, it is the world. In verse 38, as I proved, as the Bible proved. I just read it to you. I learned to do that in seventh grade, you know, to read. It's not hard. Those that don't research, you might want to try it sometime. You know, if he hadn't specifically told us that the world is the setting of the story, it should be obvious. The landowner tells the servants not to pull the weeds up, but to leave them until the end of the age. If the field were the church, well, that command would contradict Jesus' teaching, specifically Matthew 18. And there it tells you how to deal with unrepentant sinners in the church. They're to be put out of the fellowship, treated as unbelievers. If they unrepent, repentance is very important. Jesus never instructed us to let unrepentant sinners remain in the midst until the end of the age. So Jesus is teaching about the kingdom of heaven. Verse 24, in the world. And you can't have in your church men hugging and kissing on each other. It just can't do it. Oh, you're so judgmental. No, you're homophobic. No. Might be claustrophobic a little bit, but I'm not homophobic. I might be, cayenne pepper phobic. I don't like it. Family, in the agricultural society of Christ's time, many farmers depend on the quality of their crops. So, you have an enemy sowing weeds would sabotage a business. So the tares in the parables are likely darnel because that weed, until it gets mature in its growth, appears as wheat. So you don't have modern weed killers. You don't have Agent Orange back then, you see, that gives people cancer. Without these modern weed killers and so forth, what would a wise farmer do in such a dilemma? Instead, he'd tear out the wheat with the tares. Landowner in this parable likely waited till the harvest, what he did. After harvesting the whole field, the tares would be separated and burned, and wheat would be saved in the barn. So, in explaining this parable, to re-summarize, Christ declares that he himself is the sower. That's clear. And he spreads his redeemed seed, true believers in the field of the world, through his grace. These Christians bear the fruit of the Spirit. You will find the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, 22 to 24. And you want to know evidence of whether or not you're saved? There it is. You have a change. Some things stay the same. You still have something there that keeps you in touch with God that you have to call for his help. But you'll find some things gone. Some things changed. You're not acting right today. Well, you're acting different. What'd you do? Win the lottery? What's going on? Why are you doing? Something's wrong with you today. You're not drinking that anymore. Something changes that somebody else will notice and mention it to you. Or you'll notice the change, but witness from others that you're like, oh, really? You start listening to religious music or something happens. You don't go out so much or something. He gives you some notice that something has changed in you. Or you know things you didn't used to know. That's a really big one right there. It's called discernment. When Jesus said, or actually, the presence on earth is the reason the kingdom of heaven is like the field of the world. presence here on earth. Jesus said in Matthew 4:17, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In Mark 3, verse 2, he meant that the spiritual realm, which exists on earth side by side with the realm of the evil one, is a veil that separates the two. And during certain times of the year, month, that veil, physics, gets thin. I don't know how that works exactly. But by rituals, death, murder, suicides, and sacrifices, whatever rituals, opens that veil up to let the demons come out. Demons go in, and it closes. So when you do the rituals in your body, performing abominations, drugs, yoga, whatever, it opens up a veil from your back of your head, which is a, I'm getting into the physical part of it here, where the demon could come inside if there's no restrainer there. That's what they're doing in churches with Christian yoga. That is there. I can show exactly why. And just about how. Well, I'll tell you how. Do you see on the photos, pictures of Mary or anybody else that's got the halo? That's what that means. Nobody got no halo. The halo behind a human's head is that portal opened. We're talking quantum physics. That veil. Every person's got one, always with them. I'm going to stop there before I get deep into the alchemy, but I studied every bit of this. But it don't hold me. I had to study it to be able to teach it. The spiritual realm, the second heaven and the first heaven, exist side by side by a veil. When a restrainer is moved, oh, there's no more veil. When the restrainer, the Holy Spirit, is removed from this earth, there's no more restrainer. There's no more veil. You got it? Evil, well, you can't imagine evil on this earth. No person of Christ will be here. Or if they are, they're protected in a bubble, something. God will protect them. Or removed from the earth in the rapture. But when that first trumpet sounds, there will be nobody around that's righteous. They'll be gone. And those left, they wanted to live through death? Oh, they will for a while, because they will want to die, and they can't do it. They'll plead for death, but won't get it. They don't know that's coming, apparently, but it darn sure is. When the kingdom of heaven comes to its fruition, heaven will be a reality, and there will be no weeds among the wheat. For now, both good and bad weeds mature in the world. And here we are, y'all. The enemy is the parable of the Satan. Satan in opposition to Jesus Christ. The devil tries to destroy God's work, and I've explained to you in detail how he does it. He places false believers, teachers, the seven rays I've talked about, false teachers in the world, lead many astray, and they will be the ones at the highest level. You only have to look at the, excuse me, the scandals on TV. The world is filled with professing Christians whose ungodly actions bring reproach in the name of Christ, or Westboro Baptist Church. Or your others that, like your Steven Anderson in Arizona or Carl Gallup, these guys that do not preach the truth. All homosexuals could be killed. What are you talking about? They do this because it's what they're trained to do. And then to make sure that they're national TV or on YouTube so everybody can hear it. This is, family, the way the Jesuits cause people not to follow God. See, you that's professing Christians and show the fruits, are associated with those like Steven Anderson and the rest of them. By association. So they make sure that their videos, their TV programs are put out nationally. They have backing for it. So when you bring up something, you're associated immediately. That's what Westboro Baptist Church is linked up to Christian Identity. Oh, yeah. Arnold Murray. Yeah, they're all connected together. Phelps, the whole darn 9 yards of them. And they can lie, you know, because they took a blood oath too. So I guess that makes it legal, right? Yeah, well. Satan is prince of this world. But you know, we're not to pursue these people in an effort to destroy them. For one thing, you don't know if immature and innocent believers might be injured by efforts. But to expose them is part of it also. I've talked many times about the Spanish Inquisition, the Crusades. Crusades were created to stop what the Vatican started, Islam. They created Islam, funded Islam, and created the Crusades to stop Islam from its takeover. And then the Vatican in 1920s created the Muslim Brotherhood. Order out of chaos. It's all documented. And how about the reign of Bloody Mary in England to see if the results, and all these things, results, to find the results of men taking upon themselves responsibility of separating true believers from a false, and that's a task reserved for God and God alone. So instead of requiring false believers to be rooted out of the world and possibly hurting immature believers in the process, Christ allows them to remain until his return. At that time, angels will separate the true from the false believers. And some of the false believers will be Christians. In addition, we're not to take it upon ourselves to uproot unbelievers, because the difference between true and false believers isn't always so obvious. The way they've got so many different sects, Christian sects, S-E-C-T-S. You know, tares, especially in the early stages of the growth, they look like wheat, right? We talked about the darnel. But likewise, a false believer may resemble a true believer. So if you go to Matthew 7:22, for example, Jesus warns us that many profess faith but don't know him. Not really know him. This is where this one called Yeshua. That's why I don't get everybody to say Yeshua. Well, that's the Hebrew name of Jesus. I'm going to say his Hebrew name. Well, what they're really doing is preparing people to accept the fallen angel, Sanan Emmanuel. It's a mind thing, and it's like a massive effort. So many will profess faith to know him, Yeshua. But then when he comes around, Yeshua is in the head. He says, the Bible is no good. There's no tribulation. You're all saved. Oh, Yeshua, and their mind will click. It's a psychological thing, and it's working. That's why I'll never concede to Yeshua. I tell people, I say, well, if you're reading the Hebrew translation of the King James Bible, you might say Yeshua. But if you're reading the Chinese version of the King James Bible, you'll say Yasu. If you're reading a Greek version of the King James Bible, you're going to say Isus. And if you're reading the English version of the King James Bible, you're going to say Jesus, not Yeshua. So let's not get our gods and saviors mixed up here. Oh, they're tricky. They're tricky. So you got to examine your own relationship with Christ. And 1 John is an excellent test of salvation. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves? Know that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. And you do not want that. Now, Jesus Christ will one day establish a true righteousness. Hadn't done it yet. He'll establish a true Israel. He hadn't done it yet. No. Ashkenazi Khazars are in Israel today. But that's God's business, not ours. They'll sign over with the Antichrist in Daniel 9:27. They sign over the peace covenant, do a peace covenant with the Antichrist, and will start killing animals again as denying Jesus. So how in the world can that be the real Israel? How come Hagee out of Texas hadn't figured that out yet? Or is he still working with four blood moons that's not in the Bible? Oh, man, I tell you, that's really... I can't believe they went through all that trouble with a book that has... There have been four blood moons for generations. Now, can they make something happen in these seasonal blood moons, as they call them? Yeah, they can make things happen. But when God talks about a moon turning his blood is red, you're going to know it. When the sun turns black as sackcloth, you're going to know it. All at the same time, there's not going to be any mistake. You're not going to go out there, oh, we got a blood moon tonight. You go out there, it's a big full moon. Wow, look. Oh, yeah, that's one of them, yeah. They can make something happen. Hegelian dialectic, sure. Family, when God has a blood moon, will be his blood, there'll be no mistake about that. You won't have to guess it or see some big full moon that's a dingy red or something. No, there'll be no mistake about it. And when that sun is blacked out, you'll have no mistake about some eclipse. Oh, it'll way beyond that. His eclipse will eclipse the eclipse. There'll be no mistake. Same way there's no mistake at the time of Jesus Christ's crucifixion and the skies darkened, storm raged, and the centurion said, surely he is the Son of God. See, there's no mistake when God does something. It won't be some localized tribulation period. It will be, I don't know if you live in Podunk, North Carolina, or Podunk, Kentucky, you won't have no question about it. And you won't need some TV to tell you neither. You'll know it. So don't let these half-baked evangelists try to tell you that, oh, we got red rivers in Pakistan, we're there. Or, I don't know, whatever else they're preaching about that says, oh, and over here it's doing that, and over here it's doing that. So we're in the tribulations now. They're doing nothing but lying. No pun intended, but they're tearing the place up. You got it? So in any case, Jesus Christ will establish a true righteousness. And after he raptures a true church out of this world in preparation for the trumpets to blow, God will pour out his righteous wrath upon this world. People have no idea, have no clue. These movies don't know justice what God's going to do. He will remember what this world did to his son, but he will remember the 50 million babies that's been aborted. He will remember Pol Pot. He'll remember Saddam Hussein. He'll remember Stalin. He'll remember what we've done in this country. Man, he's going to hammer this place like a 10-penny nail in a bucket of sand and a ball-peen hammer. Like nothing they've ever seen in this entire history of this world. When? I have no clue. But we look for the signs. That's God's business. You just be ready. At the end of the tribulation period, all unbelievers will be judged for their sin and unbelief. Then they will be removed from God's presence. True followers of Christ will reign with him during that 1,000 years as supernatural, as mankind will rebuild what was lost. The humankind will be rebuilt again in that 1,000 years. Are the ones that went to the hills? Yeah. They'll come back. They'll be mortal. And they will then reproduce the human race again, but reigned by immortals and Jesus Christ. And then the end of the 1,000 years, the mortals will undergo temptations once again through Satan. As they have not been tested and sifted, they will now. And that will be the battle of Gog and Magog. And then, They will become immortal that passed, and those that followed Satan, along with the others, at the great white throne judgment. Family, that's the Super Bowl. That's the final judgment. That's your graduation. The final one. That's your doctorate degree. But there is a failure. And that failure is what you don't want. And that's hell. For eternity. And your degree of punishment in hell is eternal. But then it's dependent on your works. The family, the best place in hell is the absolute worst place you want to be for an eternity. We so downplay it, we have no idea how bad that's going to be. Oh, there comes that negative again, Tom. No, it's a warning that comes from the Bible. One thing God can't do is go back on His Word. And the wages of sin is death. So do the math on that. Only way to life is through Jesus Christ. He knows you. He brings you back like He did everybody else. What's so difficult about that? And there ain't nothing you can think, ain't nowhere you can be, and nothing you can't do He don't know about. He knows you're going to do something before you even know it's going to be off to you. History will attest the 10 nations of Western Europe. Those who have been following me all this time, especially through Daniel, Isaiah, and now, will understand then the significance of ISIS, of France this past week or two. And you know why? I mentioned to you already. I've confirmed it with several commentators. It's consistent. What's that? History will attest the 10 nations of Western Europe, the Daniel's image that he saw in Nebuchadnezzar's dream of the feet of iron and clay. The Roman Empire fell within itself, but the nations that fell with their modern day descendants are the Alemanni, something like that, Germans, Anglo-Saxons, English, Burgundians, Swiss, Franks, French, the Heruli, Lombards, or Italians, Ostrogoths, Suevi, or Portuguese, the Vandals, and Visigoths, Spanish. The Suevi, Portuguese, Visigoths, Spanish, survived, but the Heruli the Visigoths and the Heruli and the Ostrogoths were made extinct. Lombards, Italians survived, and the Suevi, Portuguese, survived, so they have to replace the three extinct parts of the Roman Empire. We'll come back together. The wound will be healed. Called the Holy Roman Empire, revived. That's the European Union. That's the ones marching hand in hand, arm in hand, in France. There was Merkel. There was all the rest of them, the Swiss, the Italian. That was the Roman Empire right there. You see in the beginnings of the Roman Empire that will be returned right there in photograph of the heads of state marching in France. That blew me away. I said, well, they're right there for sure. Is an indication of the end times events coming to play. So tomorrow we'll talk about Matthew 24 and 25. And I want to also touch upon the chapter 6. Well, the Revelation 13. I want to see how that combines in with what I'm talking about. I'm really anxious to get started on the first piece of Revelation 13. About what that's all about. And we've also got to cover the basics of Matthew 24 and 25. We'll do that. A lot to cover this week, actually. It's already set. I know what I'll be covering. It's all prophecy this week. identifying the symbols and where we are and what events have taken place already. And we really want to talk about that one. Because right now they're coming all kinds of stuff. All kinds of events that have nothing to do with prophecy. But the thing is, it's tricky, is they can make some of these things happen. God's got to allow them. Because they're changing the laws of the land to pull away from the Bible. And the more they do that, the thinner the veil gets. Because God pulls away. This is how it really works in this world. Everything else to keep you busy. Everything else to keep you tied up, busy, distracted, in every which way possible. I got a laundry list of things. I'm not going to go over them now, of course, but I sit down when I'm my little Ruby Tuesday coffee breaks or something, and I said, okay. And I went over it. The ways they got us disconnected. And I... Feminism, Planned Parenthood, Declaration of Independence, the abortions, adultery, all this, beauty pageants, Light Up for Freedom, Edward Bernays, the voting rights, international rights of the child, Common Core, No Child Left Behind, homosexual agenda, transgender, homestead law, affirmative action, family. I've traced all these to the Illuminati and the different councils and committees. Every single one of them. Emancipation Proclamation. Everything. Everything is connected. It's incredible. But it don't matter. They lose. We're just counting the casualties. The war has been won. For them, the war is lost already. They think they can beat by using technology. By technology commanding the forces of nature, they think is God's weapons. That's where HAARP comes from. That's where earthquake management through HAARP. GMO products and space travel and all that stuff. Hadron Collider. Everything they could think of. And where they get the knowledge from? You got it, fallen angels. But all God's got to do, all he's got to do, is change the frequency vibration of the universe and all their calculations, all their equipment, everything that's computerized or even supernatural doesn't work anymore. That's why they have to keep upgrading the computers. Yeah, because the computers keep busting up, quitting, stalling, catching on fire. Why do you think that happens? Because God changes the frequency. They can't rest. They can't stop. And everything they develop starts tearing up. Because God keeps them on the move. They can never rest. No equipment, no technology survives. They always have to keep upgrading. And the scientists even know that there's coming a point that they can't go no further. Well, God is unlimited in the number of frequencies he's got. I see. So whose side are you going to be on? No question either. All right, let's get going here. Lord, thank you tonight for coming us together. Father, we thank you for the opportunity you give us. Father, to teach us. Guide me, Lord, in these studies. Father, protect me from any outside influence. And guide everybody else. Lord, listen to their prayers. We pray for Antonio and his family. Lord, to bring them together in the supernatural. Cover them with the blood of Jesus, Lord, that anything from the outside is influencing, that you take it away. That, Lord, they need help. And, Father, only through your Holy Spirit can that help happen. Father, we need help. Father, guide us all in the broadcast and Bible studies. All these things we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Family, stop. Appreciate y'all stopping by. Really do. This is a Bible study that I started, realized, wait a minute, I have a network. Why don't I just invite people to join my Bible study? I just do it while I'm learning. I'll talk out loud. That's what it is, really. So, it's, you know, I'm not a theologian. I have a host of theologians I use. David Wilkerson on top of the list. And, of course, they murdered him. And I'm very careful about theologians I use and talk. I check them out. And a lot of them that's starting to turn over, man, they're starting like, whoa, changing their theology. It's like, well, which one? It's like firecrackers going off and you don't expect them to. Boom, there goes one out the door. Start changing their theology. Well, I leave as soon as they do. You know when it happens. Y'all have a good night and God bless. I remind you all, before I go, we are played up at highpointradio.net. highpointradio.net. John Kirkler. H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R. And he has sponsors, New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania. And check out his sponsors, if you can use them in that area. highpointradio.net. Website, watchmenforjesus.com. And my Facebook is Watchmen for Jesus. Thank you all for coming by. Tomorrow we'll see you at 4 o'clock. Good night. God bless. It's your Watchman. I'm signing off.
I am with you every day.